Hey y'all, welcome to the podcast today. Excited to bring you this one. This is a live panel discussion with three of my good friends and my lovely wife moderating. I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. It's on the future of medicine. But just before we dive into the show, I really wanted to tell you guys, man, my buddies over at Cured, you may remember Joseph Sheehy, who is a former guest on the podcast where we talked about his trinity of superfoods, which are CBD, functional mushrooms, and adaptogens that he puts into all of the products over at Cured. Well, just this week, I received in the mail a first package of Clementine Serenity Gummies. If you haven't tried the Serenity Gummies from Cured, this is a brand new flavor, and it was kind of funny. My son Leon has this tractor that he loves, and just, you know, at the stage of development he is in, now he's giving things different names, and so instead of just calling it a tractor, he wants to give it a name, and so he asked his dad, "Daddy, what should I name my tractor?" And the tractor is bright orange, and I said, "You know what? We're going to name it Clementine in honor of my brand new Serenity Gummies, which contain, I wanted to tell you guys, so these things are delicious. A serving size is 2. Now, they're delicious, so it's not like a bag of candy that you're going to sit there and just pound like you're at the movie theater and you're 17, because if you do that, you will very likely go to sleep. These things are packed with just an impressive amount of nutrients, including L-theanine. There are 300 milligrams of L-theanine in just 2 gummies. Now, theanine is like the ultimate compound. It's amazing for both stress and calm throughout the day and sleep. So you can take it literally with your coffee and extend the life of that caffeine and avoid jitters and things. You can use it in that way. Or you could take it before bed and it'll help you actually sleep better. It's one of the very few nutrients that are really proven to improve sleep, along with things like L-tryptophan and things like that. These things also contain reishi, 200 milligrams of reishi, organic mushroom extract, which is a very calming, soothing, functional mushroom. It's, of course, got CBD, 30 milligrams, and it's got a little bit of ashwagandha in it as well, a 10-to-1 extract, which is amazing for managing cortisol levels if you are stressed. These things taste amazing. They've also got, by the way, a microdose of THC. So the entire bag has, it says 75 milligrams of THC. So it's about 1 milligram per gummy. And these things are delicious. So I think you guys should probably give them a try. What you can do is head on over to coachjoedi.com/cured. And when you get there, you'll see a little link and you'll see a discount code. With all these coupon sites now, we can't really announce coupon codes on the air because then they end up on these coupon sites, they go bananas, and we end up having to change the code. So that's why I'm just always directing you over to my site so I can change the code as we need to. But yeah, definitely give these things a shot if you want to keep something like, you know, for stress management in the car, or you want to have something you can take in the morning with your coffee or at night to improve your sleep. Cured Serenity Gummies are kind of the answer to all of your issues. They're amazing. Just don't eat too many. 2 is the serving size. If you have more than that, you will get a lot of CBD and you will probably go to sleep no matter what you got going on that day. So don't do that and head on over to coachjoedi.com/cured. And just before we dive into the show here, I also wanted to tell you guys about an exciting product called Masszymes. I was just on the phone yesterday with one of my athletes that I work with who has a marathon coming up, and we were talking about how Masszymes have just changed the digestive game for him. As you guys know, with running, it's like getting the food right and, you know, the right amount of calories and spacing it out far enough from your challenging runs and things like that can be, it's always a challenge, right, to kind of optimize fueling with performance and making sure you get enough whole foods and you're not just living on a bunch of gummies and stuff. Well, he was talking about how Mazymes have just changed the game for him and just made that so much easier on his body because he feels like his digestion has just improved that much. And did you guys know that your natural ability to digest food, whether you're exercising a lot or not, declines with age? This is because the body produces fewer enzymes as we get older, which are the proteins responsible for digesting our food. And if you have less enzymes, well, you're going to have a lot more difficulty digesting food. It's going to take you a lot longer. And this is why digestive problems are becoming so common. So your body just can't get the job done. And this is where supplementing with a high-quality enzyme supplement like Mazymes can be a huge help. I personally recommend this product from Bioptimizers because it's the best in class, period. I've tried so many of these things. As you guys know, my wife is vegan, and when you're eating a lot of plant foods, you oftentimes need enzymes. And so we always have had enzymes in the house, and she's taking Mazymes all the time as well. It helps really top off those enzyme levels inside your gut and help replace the enzymes that your body's no longer producing if you're getting a little bit older, which means you're going to be able to eat all sorts of delicious foods and digest them quickly and effortlessly. After you start taking Mazymes, you may notice that you no longer feel bloated after meals or that your belly feels a little bit flatter. And even if you have leaky gut, Mazymes can reduce the irritation in your gut and help you absorb more of your nutrients, which is a huge problem with people with leaky gut. So if you want freedom from your food, especially during the holiday season that's coming up right now, try Mazymes right now, risk-free, and experience for yourself the magic of high-quality enzymes. For an exclusive offer just for my listeners, head on over to Mazymes.com/runga. That's Mazymes.com/runga, just like it sounds, Mazymes. And you can enter code RUNGA10. And I know I just said a minute ago I don't like putting codes on the site, but this one's embedded into that link, so even if we change it, just head on over to Mazymes.com/runga, and you'll get code RUNGA10 automatically applied to your order. And that's it, guys. And again, as I said, today's podcast is hosted actually by my wife, Emilia, and it features three of my really good friends, Dr. Chris Shade, who has been on this podcast a number of times, Dr. Leland Stillman, who has also been on this show once or twice, and Dr. John LaRance, that is yet to be on the show one-on-one, but here he is in the flesh. He was a recent addition to our Runga events, and he brings a wealth of knowledge and experience, so I'm super excited to be sharing for the first time Dr. John LaRance on this podcast. And this is on the future of medicine, and it's a really interesting podcast where we talk about all sorts of sort of the cutting edge stuff, the future of medicine, and kind of like where things are headed, but also like some of the more recent challenges, including COVID, that have sort of like thrown off the ship. It's like thrown us off course. We were all focused on longevity. We're all ready to go. And then COVID kind of mixed us up a little bit. And so now, as Dr. Shade kind of kicks off the show explaining, is like, you know, now we kind of have multiple arms of medicine happening at once, kind of this like immune support and kind of this like this sort of like health promotion side, and then this optimization side. And so this is a really interesting podcast for those interested in those two paths that are kind of running concurrently right now. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. So I'm just going to let the docs take the wheel here, and have a wonderful day, guys. I really hope you enjoy this podcast. And if you do, just please share it around to your friends. Let people know. Share the medicine with them. And I really appreciate that. It really helps drive this show. So appreciate you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, and enjoy the show with my lovely wife, Emilia Roon.
All right. I hope you guys are enjoying some delicious appetizers. I have with me here three doctors with very different backgrounds, and I'm excited to hear what they have to say about the future of medicine, which is the panel topic for tonight. So on my left, or they're all on my left, but right here is Dr. Chris Shade of Quicksilver Scientific. And there's Dr. John LaRance from Mitozen Scientific. And then Dr. Leland Stillman, who is an integrative medicine physician in Florida. And you have your own practice too, so that's exciting. So you guys are going to get to hear from them on different perspectives, what we think is coming, especially in the functional medicine space, different trends they're seeing, and products that I would really like to hear what products you think people are going to be using more and more of as we deal with new health challenges. So maybe it's a good place to start. What trends are you guys seeing, you know, in your patients or even in your clients? You know, you two have supplement companies. What are people gravitating towards and why, with what issues that they're dealing with?
Yeah, I'll kick it off and you talk more clinical. You know, there's a couple paths all going in parallel and then they get all kind of mixed up. And so obviously we're in the biohacking sense here, which moves into the longevity world. And so, you know, some of the things that are big there, you know, people are looking at senolytics, how do you kill away senescent cells, plasma exchange, plasmapheresis for regenerating your blood plasma proteins, and those in turn informing your whole protein metabolome into a younger world. And you see people working on, you know, lengthening of telomeres, and you've got peptides, you've got hormones, all these things are expanding at the same time. But then we have this overlay of, you know, what are we all dealing with, you know, and we're dealing with COVID and its effects through the nation, through the world, and its effects from both having it and its effects from vaccinating against it. And so you're going to have an overlay where, you know, we'd like to say that we're going to come here and Emilio's like, where are we going with this? And we think it's this linear run, and we're all going to live longer and stronger and brighter, and we're not going to say, oh, come on, that's bullshit, Dave. When Dave asks, he says, I'm going to live to 180. But now we have this complex overlay of what the whole COVID world is doing to our immune systems, what it's doing to our vasculature, which is burning out the vasculature, causing all this coagulability. We're going to see tons of cardiovascular complications, lots of pathologies. You're going to see a kind of insane uptick. We already haven't seen an uptick in autoimmune things. Look at where that's going to go. It's going to be really intense. And so while we're scrambling to, you know, move forward and get into these anti-aging remedies, a lot of us are going to have these complex overlays. You know, COVID will turn down NRF2, which is your signaling for all of your detoxification, your chemoprotective system. All that's turned down. Post-COVID, you're giving people vitamin C again, like the old school antioxidant, because the system's not working. And so we're going to have to look at that, and we're going to have some basic stuff in place at the same time that we're moving forward into these more complex or these more accelerating modalities for our longevity. So those are the two things. We're moving in one direction, and there's this complex overlay of this new pathology that's kind of screwing up our trajectory.
Hello, better? Yeah. So there is no future of medicine. There's no past. There's only medicine now, right? So I can speak for myself. You know, I tend to kind of just focus. I have a rich clinical situation, and I've been practicing for about 30 years. And so I get to be in the trenches and see what works. And I've been extremely sick myself and went through, you know, some pretty challenging times. And I learned a lot through that process. And so that carries on to my own personal clinic. I got COVID, you know, three times. One time it literally almost killed me. I mean, I was absolutely decimated and I was healthy. So it was interesting, like, why it hit me so hard. But I know at least one other person that the same thing happened, and it was almost like this rebirth, right? So it was like this complete death where there was just nothing left of me, and then it was like this rebuilding, you know. So it was a blessing in that sense. But the things that I really see to be fascinating in my world is this use of light and photobiomodulation, right? And the photodynamic aspect of our body. So our cells can either use photons or electrons to make energy, which is really fascinating because photons is non-matter and electrons is matter. And so there's this really interesting kind of fusion between matter and no matter. And the mitochondria, which is the powerhouse of the cell, in my world is everything. And the body is a self-healing, self-regulating device, and it just runs out of battery power. And that expression of health becomes interfered with through stresses, which all stresses result in one commonality, which is inflammation. And then the inflammation has a negative effect on our ability to make energy. And so there's many more stressors that we face. You know, we have, you know, artificial lights that screw our circadian rhythm up. And the autonomic nervous system is everything. Like, we all have this part of our nervous system that we have volitional control over, and then there's a part of our nervous system that we don't, and it's automatic. And that autonomic nervous system beats our heart. It maintains the vasculature status. You breathe. Actually, breath is both volitional and non-volitional, and that's why we can do breath work, and we can actually go in and exercise the autonomic nervous system. And that's the part of the nervous system that really starts to go south with just about every disease because it's so deeply rooted in a strong neurological effect. So mitochondria is most important when we're talking about the brain or the heart. And because of that fact, we have this this need to support the mitochondria, and that the brain and the heart, those types of conditions, we're going to surface first when we start to have a failing energy system. And so the idea of metabolic medicine is something that I love. I love that term. I feel like that's what I practice, is metabolic medicine, you know, where it's core energy. My company is called MitoZen, where it's all about the energy and the mitochondria. And so we're using things like methylene blue and melatonin, and both of those molecules I find absolutely fantastic and fascinating. And you're not going to hear a lot about these in mainstream media, but yet they've been around, you know, I mean, methylene blue, you know, been around since the 1800s. In fact, the German doctor that coined the term magic bullet was referring to methylene blue, and it was first developed for malaria, right? And so then you have this methylene blue that is like magic, and it's out, and then the FDA shows up, right? And so methylene blue predates the FDA, and the FDA comes up, and it's all about the new molecule, the sexy new molecule. Let's get this a commercial, let's do this, and then these things, the patent runs out. And so these practitioners get, they get romanticized by these new molecules, right? And the sexy pharmaceutical, you know, I know we have a couple of Pfizer. I was talking to someone, which beautiful person, but this is the, you know, sex sells. You get a beautiful woman. She goes in. She has some samples. Blah blah blah. And so what happened is, although methylene blue was such a fantastic drug for malaria, antibiotics come out and it's so sexy, and so everybody navigates away from it, but it obliterates your microbiome. So there's this whole balance of, okay, what's healthy for the body, yet, you know, doesn't leave the body weaker than it did, so it can do the job. Closer? You're like pointing like this. Can you not hear me? Oh, you good? Okay. So leaves the body unharmed. Antibiotics, the problem is they work, they kill the bacteria, but then it leaves you weaker. And that's why with like Lyme disease, you can feel better temporarily, but it doesn't actually fix you. So antibiotics are really needed in some situations, but they're way overutilized, where something like methylene blue can have this antimicrobial effect, but it leaves the body super healthy. Like one of the next indications for methylene blue was for chronic urinary tract infections. And what you'll find is when you take it, your urine turns blue, right?
Oh yeah, and you feel it kind of scouring through there as You know, as you're peeing it out, it kind of burns.
Well, that's because we dosed you really hard. Remember when you had COVID?
Yeah, so I got out of COVID taking methylene blue 400 milligrams a day with red light, like 3-4 times a day, and taking nanoquercetin every hour on the hour, and glutathione, and I was clean in like 4-4.5 days.
Yeah, for sure. So it's this idea of stacking different things, like methylene blue is photodynamic, and so you add light in, and it like accentuates the potential of methylene blue. And these different things like ozone and melatonin and methylene blue have these broad benefits to the body. You know, there's antimicrobial effects, but they support cellular energy, right? And they're doing things that improve health and have antimicrobial. See, in my world, the two most at the root of all diseases is infection and toxicity. You know, would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know. Is this one more? Hello? Can you guys hear me? Sure. Oh, thanks. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, and I think what's interesting about it is with both infections and toxins drive metabolic imbalances and nutritional deficiencies. So the sicker the patient with one of those two, the worse the nutritional problems that go along with that. And you cannot address one and get really great results. You have to address all three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a dance. And I think all three of us up here, we've been in this long enough where we start to understand that it's got to be unique, but there's also some commonalities that we see with helping people out. So I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Yeah, this is a really interesting question. I'm going to preface my answer by saying that I tend to attract the people who come to Runga, and 98% of you are somewhere between full-on carnivore. Not many of you are, as far as I can tell. And some of you have more of a I hate the term plant-based because it's gotten so, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of like politicization of that word at this point. But it's more like there's more plants, but there's still plenty of animal protein and protein. And so the biggest trends that I'm seeing in my practice with that group, just full disclosure, I don't have any idea what's going on with the vegans or the full-on carnivores because they just don't show up in my practice. There's lots of mineral imbalances that are going unaddressed and unmonitored. And so it's very common for me to see people coming in with iron overload, and then I'll tell them to go dump some blood, and they'll feel massively better. Because most people just don't realize that 5-10% of the Caucasian population is set up for an iron overload syndrome because of genetic mutations that don't necessarily manifest over disease. There's a lot of copper zinc imbalances going on right now. Zinc got pushed really heavily with COVID, particularly through certain physician groups who don't, most of them were critical care docs. So they see patients for weeks at a time, and then those patients disappear and they never follow up with them. But we've had some crazy cases, colleagues of mine. Like one guy came to us on like a gram of zinc a day. And he was wondering why he's nauseous and he's dizzy and he's throwing up and he's having diarrhea. And we're like, you have acute zinc toxicity. We know you think it's good for you, but no one should be taking a gram of this a day. That will then drive copper, molybdenum, and manganese down, and that creates all kinds of other problems. And then the same thing's happening with copper. People in the animal, you know, nutrition world have totally gotten on the beef liver train, which is great. But what's interesting is you will get labs back where the vitamin A is high, and that means you're driving too much of that into the system. You'll get really high copper levels, and those people will have horrible fatigue, headaches, brain fog, insomnia, hormonal issues. Then it drives their zinc down, and they end up with GI problems. So you have to balance that out. The mag-potassium balances are getting crazy because people will drive, you know, they'll drive sodium in, and then that will create the potassium imbalances, and then they'll drive calcium in, and that will create the magnesium balances. And so that's a really big piece of this. The minerals are where I spend a lot of my time just because I find them so fundamental. But people are doing this with a lot of different choices because they aren't aware of what's going into the system and then how the environment the system is in is handling it. EMF has been one of the things that a lot of us have been banging the table on for years now that people are really more accepting of as a problem now. That's because it's exponentially gotten worse. When you really check with meters and you talk to building biologists, I mean, the variety and the amount of radiation has just ratcheted up in huge quantities. And what's so interesting to me about that, and that we don't really know a lot about, is that all of these electromagnetic energies have interactions with our minerals, right, which I'm seeing lots of imbalances of. And so, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people who are sleeping next to smart meters or Wi-Fi routers or whatever and just unplugging it, moving the bedroom, right? All of a sudden, food allergies and sensitivities are going away, headaches are going away, insomnia is, you know, cured. So, and then, yeah, I mean, that's and then the hormonal problems are getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, I have very few men whose T I check, testosterone I check, who are really flat out normal. I find that most men coming to me, I'm the first person to check their testosterone and all the other labs that actually matter for it. So they'll have a normal or even a some of them are on replacement, they're on a high, they have a high testosterone level, but they don't realize that they actually need estrogen and estradiol, and somebody's put them on a high dose zinc, or they put them on anastrozole, which blocks the aromatization into estrogen, and then they have a low estrogen and estrone state, and they're calling me and they're like, I'm snapping at my wife, I have too short of a chain, I don't have any patience, I'm not emotional, and weirdly, doc, even though my T is like 1300, I don't have any sex drive. And I'm like, well, you know, your estrogen is like 45, that's not normal, stop taking the anastrozole, it aromatizes, they get better. And then part and parcel of that is women, of course, are having more problems with this, and I think it's being driven by a combination of endocrine-disrupting compounds in the environment. That's gotten a lot of press, a lot of traction. You've probably all heard about that. You're drinking filtered water, you're avoiding plastic, so on and so forth. EMF are kind of, we're not really sure how those are affecting hormones, at least I'm not, other than through disrupting sleep, which disrupts all of your, you know, physiology and metabolism. And then I think the fake light at night is really bad for hormones, and particularly the lack of sunlight. I mean, we'll have people in the clinic who we just normalize their light environment. You know, 3 walks a day, blue blockers at night, using red and red light shields or glasses or whatever. And, you know, all of a sudden it's like they've dropped 5 pounds. You know, they put on 2 or 3 pounds of muscle in a week. They, you know, they're feeling better. They're sleeping better. Their hormones are better balanced. So I think those are the big things. And people here are set up to succeed while you watch, I hate to say this, but the rest of the population just really tank. And the sad thing about that is that the conventional system, you know, which I am very close to still because of my training and background, it's really collapsing. And when I say that, I mean it in like, truly it's collapsing. There's not enough doctors, there's not enough nurses, the patient acuity is too high, they don't have the knowledge. What they're seeing are really pathologies stacked on top of pathologies that have been precipitating out for generations, and they don't even understand why these things are problematic. So more and more patients are showing up and they're like, I'm really sick, but I'm really young. Grandma and grandpa lived to 95. This doesn't make any sense. The regular doctors have no answers for me. I've already been to a bunch of functional docs, outside the box type thinkers, you know, all sorts of, you know, practitioners, without real clear guidance or resolution. And my passion is really with people is helping them understand the fundamentals, because I know that's what on a population level is going to get things back to some level of normalcy and actual reasonably good public health.
I just want to, you know, finish up on that before she asks us another question. So we're talking about, you know, how are we moving into the future? You know, I said we're trying to do these things, make ourselves live long, have more wellness. We've got this overlay of disruptions, you know, and so disruptions, John had said, toxicity and infection. So we've seen what COVID has done, and its overlap with toxicity is very clear. People with more toxin exposure had more negative response. A lot of the things that came up with COVID, we don't understand why, but some of them are really clear. So some of these fundamentals, Leland saying back to fundamentals, detoxification, a clear inner chemical environment, a clear metabolism, those are emerging as clear winners moving forward. And so we'll always be going to these, but we're always suffering these little things that are knocking us down. And so one of the things that you see that really goes along with the rise in all the autoimmunity, In the chronic infection, we moved out of an acute infection world into a chronic infection world where we're sitting on these things. We know Lyme, but there's these noxious biofilms that can live in us. We have a microbiome in our blood, and this can have pathogens or neutral players. And what makes these players more pathogenic? And there's emerging evidence. It's saying that a lot of this is coming from EMF and, you know, problems with our electromagnetic hygiene. And so when you listen to Ben, what's Ben rattling off? He's not telling you, like, we're going to do wind sprints all day. It's less of his younger life. And he's talking about building biology. He's talking about creating these spaces where our vitality can grow. And when the energy in you is on the vitalistic side, there's a natural depression of the pathogens. But when the pathogens get in, they tend to hold you down. They suppress the very things that you need. So in our future, we're going to have a more, much more acute sense of exactly how we deal within these shifting electromagnetic fields, within these shifting fields of the biome up out there, introduction of viruses. We'll learn to protect our essential inner space and not have to run after these things as much. Oh, this supplement, that supplement, that supplement. You know, we protect these core things of immunity. Everybody loves the word sovereignty, but what about, you know, our electromagnetic sovereignty? You know, how does our light field fit in all this? And so we'll get more acutely aware of those things. At the same time, some of these biohacks get really worked out. How much do we take for senescence of a quercetin dose or something like that? How much is too much? How much is not enough? How exactly do we use the peptides and the stem cells that are coming in? But the disruption, the fundamental disruption in our fields is the thing that we most have to accommodate in order to move forward. And so that'll become just part and parcel for everyday living.
Thank you so much, guys. That's so interesting. So we touched on EMF, and that's a really exciting topic for me because I'm really passionate about that after having some side effects myself. So I'm curious, even for a crowd like this, everyone's super health conscious, everyone's been biohacking for a lot of us many years. What are some other hidden, you know, health dangers or health risks that we might not know about that we don't see? Are there any other examples that you could give us that would especially be relevant for this crowd that's already doing a lot of these things?
Nasal hygiene. No one's talking about it, right?
I talk about it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So we're not taking care of. I have this idea of Ganesh, right? I call it the Ganesh protocol, and it's taking care of your doorways. And so if you look at the research on oral gingiva and gum disease and how that translates into how it creates inflammation in our body and how destructive that can be on the cardiovascular system and neurologically. And so the same thing happens with the nasal passage, and then you have the colon, right? And the colon has this balance of good and bad bacteria, and you have this process called dysbiosis, where there's more of the bad bacteria and less of the good. And so what these organisms do is they secrete and outgas something called endotoxins. And these endotoxins are incredibly inflammatory. And they suppress your ability to make energy. They suppress your life force, your expression of energy to keep your body healthy. So that becomes a huge stressor. And so what we've put together, and it's something that you guys can check out at the MitoZen. We have the MitoZen Den, right? Is it called? Yeah. We have a mouth oil. Basically, it's essential oils, and you can get your own essential oils. It's just something I put together. It's spicy. I'll warn you with that. And then we have something similar, which is a nasal spray that's kind of spicy, and it's got essential oils. And then, you know, we have a suppository with probiotics. But I tell you what, I'm really into lately is making my own yogurt and culturing my own yogurt. And so anybody that's interested, make sure that Tara has your email, because we'll send you this like rock star yogurt. And we make it with coconut cream. And I thought it was going to be really difficult, but honestly, And it's been one of the things, because we do some health coaching. Well, man, I mean, it's really turning a lot of people around. And you don't have to be sick. You could do this and just your gut just gets super healthy, the vitality, your ability to absorb nutrients, you know, through that microbiome. And the microbiome, I mean, we could really have quite a discussion on that, right? I mean, yeah. So, your microbiome is like these trillions of bacteria. And so if you have certain thoughts, like if you're always angry or hot feeling hostility, there's microbiome that is going to proliferate and produce neuropeptides that are going to support that. If you're blissed out and feeling love and connection, so there's actually a pretty interesting connection with your microbiome. And so supporting that can really have some far-reaching effects. But I'm going to turn this over to Chris to talk about endotoxins.
Let me just wrap up on that and head over to Leland. What he brought up there with the nasal hygiene, you're trying to keep the right balance of bacteria. What happens when you have the wrong balance is you start getting inflammation. Inflammation breaks down the tight junctions. When we talk about leaky gut, it's between every cell. And the inflammation from the negative bacterial load opens up the GI lining. And then these little parts of bacteria, we call them endotoxin. They're also called lipopolysaccharides. And they're little parts of the cell membranes of these bacteria that are very pathogenic if they're in our blood. And not the whole bacteria, but just a part of it gets across into the blood, into circulation, and that's called endotoxin. And when your immune system sees it, it's got these very acute pattern recognition sensors for looking at chemistry. And it says, oh my God, dear Lord, there's like E. coli infection going on in the blood. And sounds the alarm, and it winds up inflammation in an attempt to kill the invader. So now this is really important, that we understand that there's this balance between oxidants and antioxidants in the body. Oxidants are used during inflammation, and they're used to kill the invading bacteria. So you make hydrogen peroxide, you make bleach, hypochlorous acid, and you throw it at these microbes and you try to kill it. So all of a sudden you got all these immune cells running around making these prooxidants and winding up this inflammatory response. When that happens, you downregulate all of your detoxification activity, because detoxification is part of the antioxidant system. So you're making prooxidants in this inflammatory thing and turning down your own antioxidant in your own chemoprotection system. So when this chronically happens, because your immune cell's going, where's the infection? It's just chronically throwing inflammation around. You start chronically harboring toxins inside the system. Now, another, that's the pathway for that is called NRF2, and it's this thing that we trigger to turn up all the detox in the cells. There's another important trigger that we all know in the biohacking community, AMPK, and that's the trigger for breaking down all of the energy in you, for turning fat into ketones so you can circulate energy, for turning up insulin sensitivity so you can use the energy that you have. Now, that's another important one, because it also regulates autophagy. And we're familiar with autophagy, the taking of your own cell and breaking it down and recycling it into parts for new cells. And mitophagy is taking the old damaged mitochondria, renewing them. So this is an essential process for us. But a subset of that is xenophagy, where we take a bacteria, a virus, a parasite that's gotten into us, break it down into parts so that our immune system can more accurately model antibodies to go and neutralize these pathogens. So detoxification and this sort of metabolic clarity, autophagy aspect of AMPK are both downregulated during inflammation. They're downregulated by COVID, not just when there's inflammation, but even afterward. So these are the things that are essential to longevity, but they're turned down from this inflammation. So, yeah, your GI, we know leaky gut. We're eating a bad inflammatory diet, and it leads to the chronic health conditions of chronic inflammation, which is chronic toxicity and chronic cardiometabolic unfitness. Now, that's not just the GI. When that balance goes wrong in the nose lining opens up. When it goes bad in the periodontal areas, then the periodontal areas leak the endotoxin in. And John had said that's related to cardiovascular disease. It's related to inflammation, to depression. Depression is an inflammation in the brain. So all of these barriers have to be cleaned up. Essential oils are one of the ways that have been used for a long, long time, and they're really great for that. So this one fundamental thing of inflammatory parts coming in from your barriers is enough to stop one of the biggest stresses that's coming at us biochemically.
So I'm going to tell you guys two quick stories. The first is about endotoxin. Because endotoxin is very toxic. I mean, I've seen plenty of people in toxic shock in the hospital, and it's so fun to resuscitate them with fluids and antibiotics and just like watch them come alive again. But the really cool thing about endotoxin is that it's actually a really powerful stimulant of your fever response. And this was discovered in the 20s and 30s, and I found this out in Tom Cowan's book. It was called Vaccines and Autoimmunity, the Changing Face of Childhood Illness. Great read if you're interested. This guy named Colley was a surgical oncologist in New York, and we found one of the cases of spontaneous remission of bone cancer, which was terrible to get before like chemo and modern medicine, because you literally have one option, which is cut out the bone, right? And you would miss a lot of your bones, right? But he finds this woman who had this spontaneous remission. He asked her what happened. She said, "I had a terrible illness. I spiked a massive fever, and my tumor just went away." And so he realized this was endotoxin. He then purified it, and it was produced for years as a therapy that you would give to cancer patients to spike their temperature to a level at which their immune system would kill the cancer cells. And it was very effective, and it's not patentable because it's natural, and the FDA doesn't approve it, and it's no longer manufactured in the United States. And I think you can get it in foreign countries now, but no one's really using it clinically because you would have to have, there would be a lot of problems with that. I'm just going
to
leave it at that.
You have to be pretty ballsy. They do that up at Paracelsus Clinic
in Switzerland.
Yeah, they induce fevers, and they roll you through about 104 for a couple of days to burn everything out.
So I was going to say the place I know that's doing the most of this right now is the St. George Clinic in Germany, where I've had a couple of patients go. But they mostly go, in my experience, for Lyme. And, you know, it's interesting having that experience as a doctor, because I'm always curious what's going to happen to them. I will say a lot of people go into that kind of experience hoping to have a transformational, you know, resolution, and they've missed the fundamentals, which is what I always try and get them to focus on before they do something fancy and cool like that. And then they don't get the results that they want. So that's the first story. Endotoxin and all the things we talk about sometimes as being good or bad, they have so much therapeutic value that you just wouldn't even think of until you're presented with a really unusual case like somebody happening to have a fever. And I impress this on my patients because while bone cancer is not that common, all of you are aware of melanoma and how, you know, disfiguring, dangerous, and scary it is. It's interesting, the more fevers you have, the lower your overall risk of melanoma. And it's one reason why I really encourage my patients not to treat their fevers until they're really high. So the second story, because you asked like what's in people's blind spots, I had this really interesting case come in a couple years ago. He's a young guy, and he was out on he was out of prison for white collar crime, and he had a tracking device on his ankle, and the tracking device was emitting EMF. And the reason he was consulting me is he's like, "Hey, I'm really worried about the EMF effects from my tracking device on my ankle. What can I do about it?" And I'm like, "Wow, like this is something I've never like, I would never have thought of this." And he's like, "I have brain fog, and I have fatigue, and I'm dizzy, and I have some tinnitus, and I have this metallic taste in my mouth, and I'm depressed, and I'm anxious, and all this other stuff." And I'm like, "Well, you know, okay, all right." And I'm like, "Well, listen, let's do some basic labs. We do the Nutrival, which a lot of you guys have had." He was eating a pound of fish a day. His mercury level was 13, which explains the metallic taste in his mouth, the tinnitus, the anxiety, to a certain extent, the depression. I'm missing a couple, but you get the idea. And his fish oil level was like 10 or 12. It's the only person I've ever seen get to that level without fish oil supplements. And if you see a low mercury and a high fish oil, it's a dead giveaway that that person's taking more fish oil than they need. And the caveat to that is also, like, you get a huge dose of this from walnuts and chia seeds and flax seeds. So so he was having all these symptoms he attributed to EMF, right? We got the mercury out. I actually didn't do any detox because we were so busy doing other things. Anyway, and so, but the mercury came down just because. And then the his omega 6-3 balance normalized. People forget, this is really a area of the literature that fascinates me. Yes, omega 6s drive certain inflammatory processes, and the vast majority of Americans are way overloaded on omega 6s, but it's because they eat garbage, and this group of people isn't in that category. So I will actually have some of you come in with super low omega 6 levels. And the reason that I actually tell them to tell these people to eat more omega-6s is if you go way back into like Otto Warburg's work in the 1940s on cancer, low omega-6 levels in the membranes of the cell will actually create hypoxic conditions. And that's like Brian Peskin's work in more recent years, and Emmanuel Ravici wrote about this back in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. And so you have to have at least some of them in order to drive some really key processes. It's funny, actually, people like really bad mouth arachidonic acid. Most people don't know this, but it's actually a supplement that bodybuilders will take to bulk up before a show because it induces inflammation in your muscles. Not that I'm encouraging you all to do that, but I like you could use it that way clinically if you had a really low arachidonic acid level. So we had to restore that balance, and then he had a really terrible magnesium deficiency. And when you look in the literature, like stress of practically any kind will induce a magnesium deficiency. I'll find it routinely in people who are already on magnesium supplements. And when you replete it, a lot of their problems with EMF sensitivity, that and potassium, will actually abate, because magnesium and potassium really have to balance each other in the body. And the way EMF really ruin things is by through calcium voltage-gated calcium channels. So we were able to do all that without mitigating his EMF environment, because, of course, I couldn't have the feds come chop his ankle bracelet off. And that was all mineral balancing, fatty acid balancing, and then like picking up on the mercury toxicity that he didn't realize he had because he was eating a pound of fish every day. And so I think that the take-home from that, because the question was what is in the blind spot, is you don't really know what you're eating until you actually track what you're eating. And then the thing that is staggering to me is, like, these labs are not that complicated. You can get them drawn. And the insight they give you into what's really going on is amazing. And then you're not guessing about what you take. And people just, there's so many things that in these NutriVal panels that are in people's blind spots, you know, practitioners, lay people, just because there's not a lot of information. I've really had to work extremely hard to find people who knew little ins and outs of these nutrient levels and interactions, but they're so powerful when you really just get those fundamentals right. So yeah, that's it.
Can I chime in again on this? Okay, so we all have rhythms, right? So we have a sleep-wake rhythm. We have digestive rhythms. Every single system in your body has a rhythm that's tied to Earth, right? And so we're so disconnected from that. And there's a hack recently. I spoke about it. Ben and I recorded a podcast recently. It's like the Doctor Strange of biohacking is what he's calling me.
It's totally appropriate.
So Brian is here. He owns Sauna Space. And I met Brian, I don't know, what, 6 months ago or something like that? And I discovered he has these lights, and that's what he makes his saunas with. And they're really special. When you go into the MitoZen den, you'll just look at these lights. It's like you're looking at this just gorgeous campfire. And so I was really studying this process called Agnihotra. Are you familiar with Agnihotra?
Agnihotra,
okay, I said it wrong. So when they take cow dung, and they soak it in ghee, and then it's like this really bright fire, right?
And top of pyramid, it's upside down.
I'm just thinking about setting a like bottle of $8 like Hearth and Fire or whatever, like ghee on fire. It just cracks me up.
So the fire, if you look at the fire, what's really interesting is that there's a pulsing, and at the base of the fire, that pulsing correlates with the frequency of your root chakra, and then all the way up, the top, it's a higher frequency, it's more with the crown. So there's some sort of balancing to the energy in the body when you're observing this fire. It burns for about 12 minutes. And the looking at that fire, you have light that's going into your eyes that kind of mimics the sunrise or the sunset. And, you know, for me, lighting a fire, like, you know, it just doesn't really fit with my jam, right? So it's like, he has that one light, you'll see it down there, it's called the photon, and I set it in the area where I kind of get ready in the morning, and I turn it on for 30 minutes, and then at night, around sunset, I turn it on, and you get that amber, and it's kind of mimicking sun gazing for like sunrise and sunset, but it's also kind of in line with Agnihorti. And I would recommend, you know, anybody that's busy, like, I think that is like a really wonderful hack, and these things are like less than $300 for one of these lights, so that would be my and so getting that circadian rhythm in place and what that can do to profoundly strengthen your autonomic nervous system, your sleep, you know, how important that is to support your parasympathetic nervous system, which is the part of your system where your body regenerates and rests. We're not getting that enough. You know, we're getting too much activation and too much sympathetic dominance, which is why my patients come in. That shuts down your digestion. You know, you got digestive problems. You got brain fog, right? So it's like you have this contracture of the circulation. All these systems become hypoxic. And if you just start to go to some basics, you'll see some wonderful harmonization with health.
So, yeah, before we wrap up, you know, one of the things he was getting at there, and, you know, we all talk about this here, is the autonomic nervous system, sympathetic, fight or flight, which is good. It's actually what reminds you, it brings memory. It brings a hierarchy of safety versus danger. It's very necessary. But then the parasympathetic, rest, digest, repair, regenerate, detoxify. It, you know, you're going one way or the other. And so if you're not giving your body space to come back into this parasympathetic area, you can't repair, regenerate, detoxify. You can't do any of those things. And one of the problems, you know, back to fundamentals, is EMF is switching you always into a more sympathetic state, whether you like it or not. Toxins themselves do this. So in the brain and the neurotransmitters, you've got glutamate, which is the fight or flight thing, the memory thing, makes you smart, and then GABA, the chill, the zen one. And the toxins, most of them actually activate the glutamate receptors. In fact, mercury, the reason it drives anxiety and then anxiety depression things is because it hyperactivates the glutamate receptors, so they're over-firing for whatever level of glutamate was in there. And so protecting these systems and then protecting the receptors that are the signaling in the systems. We talked a little bit about endocrine disruptors, and endocrine disruptors are throwing off your whole hormone response. So your hormone response is a mixture of the levels of hormones and the way that the receptors take that input and transfer that into the programs of your body. The receptor comes in like a key into a lock, turns it, and the programs are turned on. And the endocrine disrupting toxins get in and disrupt them, even if you're making the right amounts of the hormones, because we're always focused on trying to measure the hormones, trying to monkey with them, get them back into place. But if their transduction is the reading of the signal and turning it into action, if the transduction is perverted by the toxins which are infiltrating into those receptors, then you can't have things work right. So toxins working on receptors with the neurotransmitters, with the hormones, again, back to the basics of keeping everything clear. But then that sort of downward spiral. Remember, when you get toxic, you get sympathetic. When you get sympathetic, you're not detoxifying. So how do you break yourself out of that? And things like breath work are ways to engage and control and move the autonomics when you're off, when the toxins and the infections and the EMF fields are taking you out. It's incumbent upon us to try to bring that back and get that harmony back so we can restore the natural homeostasis in the system. So coming in the future is, how do we understand all of these perversions that are coming into our health? How do we mitigate against them? How do we create harmony in the system on a whole body level? And then we can use, you know, really small amounts of the peptides and small amounts of the growth factors to really accelerate a healthy aging.
Wow, thank you. Thank you guys so much. That was a lot of really amazing information. So let's give these guys a round of applause. And y'all deserve to get some dinner. Thanks everybody for your attention, and we hope you're enjoying.